FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Nederland, and streaming live online at kgnu.org. 7 o'clock on a Monday evening, that means it's time for the Opera Box. And a pleasant good evening. Welcome to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. Tonight, I have a blood-curdling playlist featuring great melodramatic opera scenes of murder, such as Desdemona's murder at the hands of her obsessively suspicious husband, Othello. And I'm going to have music of Korngold, Puccini, and Richard Strauss, too. So join me for tonight's Lethal Opera Box.
Diceste questa sera le vostre preci. Se mi sovviene di qualche colpa commessa, che attenda grazia dal ciel, imploratela tosto. Fretta, uccidere non voglio l'anima tua.
Uccider parli?
Sì.
Just
per sempre.
Cielo!
Othello, tricked into believing Desdemona has been unfaithful, accuses her of an affair with Cassio, and despite her protestations of innocence, he strangles her with his bare hands. From Verdi's opera Othello, based on the play by William Shakespeare. And in that clip we heard Robert Dean Smith tenor as Othello and Raffaella Angeletti, soprano, as Desdemona. Friedrich Haider conducted the Oviedo Philharmonic. And it's about 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm Ron Nadell with a playlist of operatic mayhem, scenes whose violence or tragedy is emotionally amplified by the music. Now, obsession of one kind or another is often at the root of murder in opera. And in this next scene from Eric Korngold's intense opera, The Dead City, obsession combines with guilt, pushing our tragic protagonist over the edge. Paul has been mourning the death of his wife, Marie, for some time. He keeps her room like a shrine. He's got a life-sized portrait of her, and he even keeps a braid of her hair in a crystal box. Recently, he met a young, flirtatious dancer who's the spitting image of his wife. Even her name is similar, Marietta. He becomes obsessed with her, which is also making him feel guilty that he's being unfaithful to the memory of his dead wife. Well, Paul's obsessive infatuation flatters the young dancer, and in the scene we're going to hear, it's in the morning after they've just spent their first night together. While Paul sleeps, Marietta, dressed in sheer negligee, discovers Marie's room. Paul finds her, and she scoffs at his superstitiousness. Well, he says it is his shrine to his faithful love for his dead wife. Marietta tries to tell Paul that she feels slighted by this. She is a living person. His wife has been gone a while, but Marietta has just given herself to Paul. She tries to explain how she's had to fight for everything that she has to be her own person. It's really an impassioned aria. Listen for her D above high C as well. Well, Paul rudely tells her that she can't compare to his dead wife. Angry, Marietta asks him where his thoughts were while they made love last night. Paul orders her to leave the house and the sacred room at once. But Marietta says she will fight the memory of his wife. It's a battle between hot-blooded life versus cold death. She grabs the crystal box and taunts Paul with the braid of hair. He lunges after her, but she jumps away and begins to dance, using the braid like a necklace. He lunges at her again, this time knocking her to the floor. Her eyes wide with terror, she yells for help, but Paul strangles her with the braid of hair. Standing over her, he hisses, "Now you are exactly like Marie."
Thank you.
Now, you are exactly like Marie. Paul's obsession and guilt drive him to strangle Marietta from Act 3 of Die Tote Stadt, the Dead City. But that is not the end of the opera. We heard Carol Neblett soprano as Marietta and René Collo tenor as Paul. Eric Leinsdorf conducted the Munich Radio Orchestra. We're looking at 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday evening. You're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm Ron Nadell, your host, with a playlist of powerful operatic murder scenes. And stay with me for a classic Monday. I've got a diverse, rich playlist of beautiful choral music and some Boulder Philharmonic tickets to give away, too. That's going to be at 8 o'clock tonight for a classic Monday. Well, obsession isn't the only cause of murder, as we will see in this next scene from Puccini's Tosca. The story takes place in mid-18th century when Napoleon was at war with Italy. Tosca's lover, Mario Cavaradossi, has been arrested for sedition by Scarpia, the corrupt governor of Rome. Scarpia has invited Tosca to his offices so that she can hear Mario being tortured. Then, while he eats his dinner, he makes her a proposition. If Tosca will sleep with him, Scarpia will let Mario go free and give her two letters of safe passage so they can leave Rome. Only upon hearing Mario's cries of pain does she agree. And in this scene we're going to hear, Scarpia is writing up the letters of passage while Tosca cries to God, "I live for art and I live for love. What have I ever done to deserve this treatment from you?" A messenger arrives, and as he talks with Scarpia, Tosca sneaks a knife from his table. When the messenger is gone, Scarpia lustfully approaches Tosca. "Finalmente mia, finally mine." But as he comes close, she quickly stabs him. "That is Tosca's kiss," she cries. He staggers backwards, calling for help, but Tosca is on him like a cat, and holding him in a death embrace, she plunges the knife into him again and again. "Look at me," she yells. "You tormented us so. Now die! With a groan, Scarpia lies lifeless on the floor. Looking down on him, she scoffs, and all Rome trembled before you. She takes the letters of passage and places candles at his head, feet, and at both arms. And with one last look, she quickly slips out of the room.
istante.
Ah, ah, mi fai il prezzo. Ah, ah.
Che era?
Eccellenza, angelotto nostro giungere succide.
Che bello si appenda a memoria tra le forche. E l'altro prigionier.
Il cavalier Cavararossi. È tutto pronto, eccellenza.
Dio m'assiste.
Aspetta. Simulare, non posso far grazia aperta. Bisogna che tutti abbiano per morto il cavaliere. Quest'uomo fido provvederà.
Chi m'assicura?
L'ordin ch'io gli darò, poi qui presente. Spoletta, chiudi! Commutato d'avviso. Prigioniere sia fucilato. Attendi. Come facemmo del conte Palmieri?
Incisione.
Simulata, come avvenne del Palmieri. Hai ben compreso.
Ho ben compreso.
Ah.
Voglio avvertirlo io stessa.
E sia, le darei passo. Vada, allora quarta.
Sì, come Palmieri.
Io tenni la promessa.
Non ancora. Vuole un salvacondotto onde fuggir dallo stato con lui.
Partir dunque.
Sempre
si adempi al voler vostro.
Well, Scarpia meets his end at the hands of Tosca. From Act Two of Puccini's opera. And of course, the opera does not end there. At the premiere of the opera, one critic famously described it as a shabby little shocker. But it's one of the most performed operas in the repertoire. And we heard soprano Angela Georgiou as Tosca, with the bass Ruggero Raimondi as Scarpia. Antonio Pappano conducted the Royal Opera Orchestra of Covent Garden. And we had a little technical difficulty there on that track, but we'll get things back on track here. It is about 23 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock, and you're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of opera scenes that turn lethal. And in this last scene, we get a revenge-obsessed daughter and two murders, all for the price of one. I'm talking about the violent conclusion to Richard Strauss' intense opera, Elektra. Now, this is going to take a little explaining. You may recall from my program on Mad Scenes that Elektra is obsessed with revenging her father's death. Her mother, Clytemnestra, and her lover, Aegisthus, murdered Elektra's father, King Agamemnon. Elektra's brother, Orestes, has been in hiding, but has just returned in disguise, saying he has news for the queen. He waits in the courtyard where Elektra has been digging in the dirt like a wild animal. She's been looking for an axe that she buried to kill her mother with. She learns that the stranger is her brother, and he secretly tells her he has come to revenge Agamemnon's murder. Well, in the scene that we're going to hear, Orestes has just been shown into the house by the servants as the sun is setting. Elektra suddenly becomes anxious. He left before she could give him the axe to use. Are there no gods up in heaven? She cries. The tension builds as the orchestra swirls with anticipation. Suddenly, Clytemnestra screams out in pain. Stab her again, yells Elektra. And Clytemnestra gives out a blood-curdling yell. The orchestra erupts violently. Elektra's meek sister arrives, very agitated. I think I heard something, she says fatuously. Suddenly, Clytemnestra's lover, Aegisthus, walks into the courtyard, coming in from the fields. Where are the servants to bring him a light, he complains. And where are the strangers with the news, he snarls. They're with their hostess and are enjoying themselves in her company, Elektra replies giddily. And do they have important news, he demands. Oh, yes, they tell it not only in words, but with lively gestures, she says. And they wish to attend to you in person. What's got over you, Aegisthus asks. Allow me to light the way for you, she says, and she leads him to the door. He goes into the dark house. Suddenly, Aegisthus appears at an upstairs window, yelling, Help! Murderers! Then he yells again, Can't anyone hear me? From below, Elektra answers, Agamemnon hears you. Aegisthus is dragged from the window, letting out a blood-curdling scream. Suddenly, slaves and servants pour into the courtyard. After years of abuse, they cheer Orestes' return. Elektra is overwhelmed, and she begins to sway and dance. Her sister tries to get her to come into the house to join with the others. Elektra turns to her. There's only one thing to do. Be quiet and dance. With that, Elektra sways and dances more and more wildly, as if in a trance. Strauss gives us a parody of Viennese waltzing here. The rejoicing of the moment is ironic. Elektra has been so obsessed with vengeance, now that it's done, her life is superfluous. She staggers about, suddenly stands stock still, and collapses lifeless to the ground. The opera concludes with Elektra's sister calling for Orestes.
ist niemand da zu leuchten, rührt sich keiner von allen diesen Schuften, kann das Volk keine Tucht annehmen. Was ist das für ein unheimliches Weib? Ich hab verboten, dass sein unbekanntes Gesicht mir in die Nähe kommt.
Kein Licht. Wir sind
Be quiet and dance. Electra celebrating her father's revenge by dancing herself to death. The wild conclusion to Electra by Richard Strauss. At the premiere of the opera, some of the critics thought that Strauss had become depraved, and others commented that people should be forced to listen to the opera as a form of criminal punishment. Audiences loved it. In this recording, we heard Birgit Nilsson soprano as Electra and Marie Collier as soprano as her sister. Gerhard Stoltz, a tenor, was Aegisthus, and Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. Well, it's about a minute now before 8 o'clock, and you've been listening to the Opera Box. This is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. Stay tuned, however, and I'll still be with you at 8 o'clock for a Classic Monday with some really beautiful choral music to take us up to 10 o'clock this evening. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM up in Nederland, live, online, everywhere at kgnu.org.
Tune in Tuesday evenings from 7 to 8 for KGNU's live music program, Cabaret, featuring local bands. That's The Cabaret Show, Tuesday evenings at 7, right here on KGNU.
Welcome to a Classic Monday, everyone, and I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, and tonight I bring you the 10th in my series of classical choral works, such as Nessian's Mater of Walter Lamb. As well as the music of Antonio Vivaldi, Arvo Pärt, Giacomo Puccini, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Robert Parsons. This playlist spans more than 500 years. I've also got a pair of tickets for the Boulder Philharmonic April 25th Legendary Virtuosity Concert. I'll be giving those away in the second hour of the program, so be listening for more information about that. I think most of us find that the sound of people singing is a special pleasure, so join me for some beautifully diverse choral music tonight on a Classic Monday.